This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira fa'man ba'du. My brothers and sisters, we are on the lessons from the life of Isa alayhi salam and all the trials and tribulations and tests and what he went through. As I said, the idea of all of this is for us to reflect on our own lives and see what is it that we can learn and how do we apply it in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how Isa alayhi salam, in his message to the people, when he talked from the cradle itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what Isa alayhi salam said, and he also gave them the glad tidings of the coming of a messenger, a Rasul after him, whose name was to be Ahmad. وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَدْ. So he said, I give you the glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name will be Ahmad. But when he, Ahmad, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to them with clear proof, they said, this is plain magic. Now, the whole issue here is of people apparently seeking guidance, but when guidance comes, they refuse it because it seems to be inconvenient for them. It's something that we should be very careful about, because you might say, well, you know, we are not asking for any Nabi. No, we are not asking for any Nabi, but we are asking for guidance. Every Salah we say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. But when that Sirat al-Mustaqim comes before us, when we have to make this choice between obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience to Shaitan, may Allah protect us, we choose to obey Shaitan and we do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is obviously something which is dangerous, which is something which the Anbiya came to warn us against. And this is the single most important lesson we learn from the life of any Nabi and every Nabi, and that is to make ourselves obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah As-Saff, Ya a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu ansar Allahi kama qala Isa ibn Maryam lil hawariyin man ansari ila Allah. Qala al hawariyuna nahnu ansarullah. فآمنت طائفة من بني إسرائيل وكفرت طائفة فأيدنا الذين آمنوا على عدوهم فأصبحوا ظاهرين. O you believe, be you helpers in the cause of Allah, as said Isa son of Maryam عليه السلام to Al-Hawariyun, to his disciples, and he said, he asked them, who are my helpers in the cause of Allah? Al-Hawariyin, the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, they said, we are Allah's helpers, meaning we will strive for the cause of Allah. Then a group of the children of Israel believed and a group disbelieved. So we gave power to those who believed against their enemies, and they became the uppermost. We understand from here several things. One is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing anything that He wants. Allah does not need the help of anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing whatever He wants and of making it happen. But it is the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the power and the capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the other one is the the law, what we call the laws of nature, laws of physics or whatever. The laws of behavior, the laws of this world, are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created as systems to run this world. This world runs according to the systems, according to the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But where and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses His power to change that situation the way he wants to change it. For example, the birth of Isa alayhi salam is a sign of the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is superseding the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His birth, his miraculous birth, without the intervention of a male, is a sign of the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala superseding the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to prove to those who doubt the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So that is the first thing we learn. Second thing we learn is that therefore in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is to, he gives people the opportunity to earn Jannah. And the way that is done is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors for people to struggle, to invest, to work in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. And when they do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them Jannah. Allah does not need the people. Allah can make it happen by himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anybody to do anything. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the people in order to make something happen. Let me tell you a story which happened with me. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because I want this story to be spread all over the world. Especially, I want this story to reach that person who is in that story. I will mention the story to you. Unfortunately, I do not have the name of the person, but this lady who I will mention in the story lives, or at that time lived, in Los Angeles. And if somebody finds this lady, or if somebody communicates the story to that lady, then I would be very grateful. I'm talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses his khudrat, his power, to guide whoever he wants. And Allah does not need us to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed this to me in so many, in actual experience. This was probably, if I am not mistaken, either 1996 or 1997. It was either 98 or 99. Not 96. It was either 98 or 99, if I am not mistaken. 1998 or 1999. I was going to a conference, an Islamic conference in Los Angeles. I was traveling from Hartford to LA, and I was on Northwest Airlines. Northwest Airlines does not exist anymore. It was bought over by Delta. But in those days, Northwest Airlines was there. Northwest Airlines had a hub in Detroit. So you had to change a plane in Detroit. So I boarded in Hartford. I reached Detroit. And when I reached Detroit, when I boarded the next flight, which is the flight from Detroit to LA, I got a middle seat, which was a bit of a pain because, you know, who likes a middle seat? And to my left, I was in the middle seat on the left side of the aisle. So there was somebody on my right, and there was, on my left, the window seat, there was an American lady, a white American lady. Anyway, it was a Friday, and I pulled out my Musaf. These were the days before smartphones and whatnot. So I had a small Quran Musaf, about this big. So I pulled it out of my bag, and I was reading Suratul Kahf. So, and silently, I was reading silently without any sound. This lady is sitting next to me. So she leaned over and she said, excuse me. I said, yes. She said, what is that? She's pointing to the Quran. What is this? So I said, this is the Quran, and I'm reading it. She said, what language is it? I said, this is Arabic. So she said, oh, fantastic. Then I have something, you can read it for me, and you can tell me what it is. So I'm thinking to myself, who is this woman? I mean, why is she in my life? You know, I want to read my Quran. She is disturbing me. But of course, I mean, I didn't say anything, you know, rude to her. So she then went into her handbag, and she pulled out a locket. You know what you hang around, like the locket, the brooch. She pulled out this locket, and on this locket, to my great surprise, on One side was written Masha Allah, and on the other side was written either Subhanallah or Inshallah or something like this, right? So it two sides. So I read it out to her. She said, "What does it mean?" I translated it to her. Then I said to her, "I said, tell me, where did you get this?" She said, "This was given to my grandmother by one of her friends who was an Irani gentleman. And my grandmother gave this to me." I said, "Okay." So as far as I was concerned, that was the end of the conversation. She put her locket back in her bag. I went back to my Quran. Then she said, "Excuse me." I said, "Yes." She said, "Can you read that aloud, please? I would like to hear the sound. What does it sound like?" Now, remember, this is in the United States. We are flying Detroit, Los Angeles. This is 33,000 feet up in the air. This is America. And this woman wants me to read the Quran, Arabic, aloud. So I'm thinking to myself, what have I got into and why? Anyway, I read just loud enough for her to hear. I didn't want people, to start panicking or something. So anyway, I read the Surah Al-Kahf. I finished the whole surah and I shut the Quran. So she said, "Is that over?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "But there is more." I said, "Yeah, there's 15 juz more. Surah Al-Kahf is in the middle of the Quran." I said, "Yeah, there is more, but this is my portion for today." And I put the Quran away. Then she tells me, "So you are Muslim?" I said, "Yes." "What does that mean?" So now I'm thinking to myself, "Ya Allah, what do I do? How do I, what do I tell her?" Anyway, she's asking me questions, so I'm giving her answers. She says, what do you believe?" So I told her, "We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the universe, that He is alone and there is no one worthy of worship except Him, that He has no children, He has no partners, there is no one before Him, there is no one after Him. And He does everything, whatever He likes, whatever He needs to do, He can do, He has the power. His power has no limits, His treasures have no limits. And He is the glorious and magnificent." And to everything which I say, she says, "Yes, that makes sense, yes, that makes sense." So then I got a bit adventurous. I told her that we believe that Jesus was a messenger of Allah, that Jesus was human. That he was born of Immaculate Conception, his mother was Mary, and he had no father. He's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create, and he can create by his power. He doesn't have to follow his own rules. Allah created the rules of procreation, but he doesn't have to follow those rules if he wants to create outside of those rules. And I said, Jesus is an example of that. And the Quran says that why only Jesus? There is also Adam alayhi salam, the Prophet Adam, who not only had no father, he also had no mother. And there was his wife Hawa alayhi salam, Eve, who was created from the rib of Adam alayhi salam. So technically speaking, if you say who was her within quotes mother, meaning how did she come out, from where did she come out? Her mother was a man, was Adam alayhi salam. Now, to all of this, including what I said about Jesus, she says, "Yes, that makes sense. Yes, that makes sense." So I said, now I'm thinking to myself, well, if everything makes sense, then how come, then what are you? I mean, are you Christian? Are you Muslim? Why don't you accept Islam? But I didn't have the courage to actually ask her that. So now I'm making dua inside. I'm saying, "Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, make this easy for me. Ya Rab, you brought her here. I didn't have anything to do with this. Please make this easy for me. Ya Rab, make her ask me the questions." Then she says to me, "So how do you become Muslim?" So I said, you believe in your heart that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, who is your creator, my creator, to whom is our return. And we believe that Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the messenger of Allah, and he is the last and final messenger, after whom there is no messenger. We believe this in our heart, and then we say it aloud. So she says, "Yes, well, I believe that. How do you say it aloud?" So I shall ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah and the last and final messenger. And because she was Christian, I added on to that and I said, you also say that I believe that Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, was not the son of God. He was a human being. He was one of the greatest of the messengers of Allah, one of the greatest of the prophets. But he was human and his mother was human. We also believe this. So she said, yes, I believe all this. So I said, do you want to say that? She said, yes. And she repeated after me, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And she repeated the meaning in English and she said what she said about Jesus. So she said, so now I am Muslim. I said, yes, if you believe that and you have said it, and I am your witness, you are Muslim, inshallah. Then she said, can you write it out for me, this Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So I wrote it out in Arabic and I wrote the translation. I wrote the transliteration in English and I wrote the translation also. And I gave it to her. Now, I was very happy, obviously. I was extremely happy. And I said, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great and so beautiful and so generous that he literally brought this woman from somewhere and he, dropped her literally where I would get the reward, inshallah. I ask Allah for this reward for having, tried to do something for her to enter Islam. Then this lady says to me, I'm trying to explain to you and show you from my life experience how the Khudrat of Allah works. She says to me, you know, our meeting was not accidental. This was destiny. And this was something which was written. So may Allah forgive me. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, tell me about it. You know, you are from California, right? I mean, you know, this kind of, this is destiny, blah, blah, whatnot. But of course, I didn't show that on my face, or I didn't say anything. I said, yeah, sure, I agree. Now, when I said, sure, I agree, I think she got the sense that this guy is just being polite. He really doesn't, he doesn't buy this. She said, hold on, let me show you something. She goes back into her handbag. She pulls out a ticket. You know, those days we used to have the paper tickets, right? The long things. She pulls out a ticket of Delta. Remember, we are traveling Northwest Airlines. She pulls out a Delta ticket. She said, you know, the reason I'm saying it's written is because, she said, I came to Detroit for a conference, for a company conference. My company had a conference and I came along with a whole bunch of my work colleagues. We came to Detroit. We spent 2-3 days here. Yesterday, they all went back and I was to go back with them. And this is my Delta ticket. And she showed me the ticket. The ticket had her name on this. And it was the previous day's date. So she said that I was supposed to go back with them. She said something told me not to go and to stay one more night. So they all left. And I cancelled my ticket. And I asked the hotel to give me an additional day. Company was paying until yesterday. So last night I paid for the hotel and I canceled the ticket. I don't get anything back. So I lost money on the ticket. And then she said, now when I want to book a ticket for the next day on Delta, she said, I'm a frequent flyer on Delta. I wanted a ticket on Delta. There's no ticket. And the only ticket I could get was on Northwest Airlines. And she pulled out the Northwest Airlines ticket. Right? So she tells me, now you tell me, was this written or is it accidental? I cancelled my flight. She said, last night I'm sitting in the hotel and I'm thinking to myself, I must be crazy. Because why am I here? Everybody's gone back. She said, Detroit is a dump. There's nothing to do here. And I have no friends in Detroit. I've got no relatives in Detroit. I've got no work in Detroit. I'm just sitting in the hotel room and, you know, thinking to myself, I must be mad because why did I do this? Silly. I'm just, something tells me. What something tells me? And now I'm stuck. And she said, and Northwest Airlines was not a great airline. I mean, you know, in the sense of. So she said, I lose my Delta ticket and I have to travel by this Northwest Airlines. which I don't even like. She said, I did not understand any of that until now. He said, now I know why this happened. We landed in LA. Her husband came to pick her up. She, on the concourse, she tells me, now you tell my husband about Islam. So I spent half an hour there telling her husband about Islam. The reason I'm saying this, I told this story to you, as I mentioned to you, two things. One is, if any of you ever can get this story to that lady in LA, please tell her, I think about her, I make dua for her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep her strong and firm on Islam. Very, I have no excuses. I didn't get her name. She did tell me her name, but I've forgotten. I should have written it all down. I should have got her phone number or something and some contact. I didn't do any of that. I went off to my conference. She went home. I just told her, please get in touch with local Muslims and so on. She said she would do that. I have no idea what happened. But I have every hope that my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, who guided her to Islam, will keep her in Islam and keep her strong. And inshallah, she will live on Islam, and may her husband also accept Islam. This is what she wanted, her husband also to accept Islam. The reason I'm saying this to you, as I said, one is to get this message to her. If anyone ever get this message to her, I'll be very grateful, and please ask her to make dua for me and tell her that I'm making dua for her. And it would be wonderful if we get back in touch. The other method, the reason is, of course, as part of our lesson today, which is the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants. And this is something for us to keep in mind and remember, and not lose hope when we see difficulties and so on and so forth. Remember, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes only when the difficulty is at a peak, at a level where we feel that we cannot possibly deal with it. That's when we make rujoo to Allah, we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever disappoints. Right? So when things come to a peak, it's not the time to lose hope. It's the time to wait for the doors of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come to our aid. Think about Musa alayhi salam, for example. I think I mentioned that in the lesson, but think about that. Think about Musa alayhi salam. Here is Musa alayhi salam, is alone standing in front of the Pharaoh, in the court of the Pharaoh. He's supposed to communicate his message of Islam. Nobody wants to listen to him. Nobody's there except for this Pharaoh. And then what happens? The Pharaoh says, on such and such a day, festival day, you are going to be challenged by all the magicians of Egypt, and we will arrange it. So now, it was the Pharaoh who arranged for the tabligh of Musa alayhi salam, for Musa alayhi salam to have an opportunity to preach his religion and to communicate his message. Who made all the arrangements? It was the Pharaoh himself. Musa alayhi salam's arch enemy, he is the one who made all the arrangements. On the day of the festival, the whole city, town, country, whatever is gathered together, and announcements are made. The magicians come from all over the place. Now, look at it from the perspective of Musa alayhi salam. What is he seeing? He's seeing opposition increasing. The magicians are coming, this one is coming, that one is coming. Things are actually getting more and more difficult. But what was actually happening? What was happening was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was opening the doors for Musa alayhi salam. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gives him the opportunity and gives him the order to preach, all the magicians, if you see that at one stroke, Pharaoh's entire material support got cut off in one stroke, because the magicians all became Muslim. They all became the followers of Musa alayhi salam, right? And these magicians were Pharaoh's secret card. They were his great strength, because it was by them and through their illusions and through their magic that the Pharaoh had this hold and this control of his people. At one stroke, the whole thing went, right? And this is the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the story of Isa alayhi salam, we are seeing the same thing, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though Allah has the khudrat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the opportunity. So Isa alayhi salam, the Nabi of Allah, the Rasul of Allah, he's asking his people, who will help me? Who are my helpers in the cause of Allah? And they say, we are your helpers. The key thing to understand, my brothers and sisters, is when the opportunity to do the work of Dawah comes, always stand up and say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, I am ready, Ya Rab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He accepts you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide the resources for you to do what He wants you to do. The key thing is to get the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If once we get recruited, it is the job of the person or the individual or the entity that recruited you to provide you with the facilities and the ability to do that job. That is the reason why ikhlas is so important. That's the reason why sincerity is so important. That's the reason why it's so important to do the work of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't take money, don't do it for name and fame. Just do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors for you in places where you could not even imagine. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ تَكُونُ لَنَا عِيدًا لِأَوَّلِنَا وَلَآخِرِنَا وَآيَةً مِنْكَ وَارْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ Isa alayhi salam then said, the Hariyun, his disciples, they wanted some, they wanted a miracle. They wanted to see a miracle. Now again, this is a very, miracles are double-edged swords, cut both ways. So Isa alayhi salam, they said to Isa alayhi salam, please do dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should send a table spread, should send a ma'ida, should send a sufra with food from Jannah. Food from heaven for us, so we can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, and you know, they wanted to see a miracle of the Qudrat of Allah. Now look at that, I mean, even this human nature. I mean, you're looking at Isa alayhi salam, he is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What bigger miracle do you want? But anyway, and if we say, what is the comparison? Our Quran, we have here the kalam of Allah, the actual speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why do we look for miracles? The biggest miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the kalam of Allah, is the Quran itself. So Isa alayhi salam says, Isa, son of Maryam, said, O Allah, our Rabb, send us from heaven a table spread with food, that there may be for us, for the first and the last of us, a festival and a sign from you, and provide us sustenance, for you are the best of sustainers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am going to send it down to you, because Allah accepts the dua of his Nabi. But if any of you after that disbelieves, then I will punish him with a torment such as I have not inflicted on anyone among all the alameen. I will inflict on him a torment which I have not given to anybody among the insul jinn. Now, this is something to reflect on and think about. That if you are going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things like this, then they come with a... there's a sting in the tail, right? We need to be very careful. The key thing is obey what Allah has told us to obey. We should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question, without asking this and that. We obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He is Allah and because He told us to obey Him. There's no, we don't need a third reason, right? We do not need a third reason to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not need some other reason to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We obey Allah because Allah is Allah. We obey Allah because we love Allah. We obey Allah because Allah Jalla Shanahu, we owe everything that we have to Him, and we worship Him, and we do not join partners with Him, and therefore we obey Him. Now, if we ask for signs and things like this, wallahu alam, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, He gives. If He doesn't give, then we put ourselves into unnecessary problems. So that is something to think about. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to obey Him and to do that which pleases Him, and not get ourselves into situations where we cause problems for ourselves because of our questions and demanding this and that. This is not the, not from the Sunnah, and it's not something that we should do. More inshallah in the next time, but let us remember this and say that here is a beautiful story from the Quran of one of the greatest of the Anbiya alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, And what are we learning from this story? We are learning these lessons of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedience to the Nabi, following the Sunnah. And we are looking at, or we are seeing also, the difference between the Sunnah of Allah and the Qudrat of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which pleases Him and save us from that which doesn't please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.